Recording stopped. Recording in progress.
Okay, Rabosai. We left off with a discussion of Rav Papa's famous statement, right, where he has three madregas, Hilchos Dvar Bar Machlasudim, Sochasudim, Ein Tunim Bracha, Lo Lifneim, V'lo La'achreim. They don't need any bracha at all. And we saw the machlokas between Rashi, with the Haggadah side, and Adi pointed out, he had, if you look at the Ultra Gaonim, he has a few Gaonim on his side, Rashi. Rav Amram Gaon is like the Bahag, and Rav Hai Gaon is like the Bahag, versus Tosos and all the other Rishonim. And we had Rashi was clearly about Ikra and Tafel, we said, Malaf is Bosa Pasa, and we had a Chakira and the other Rishonim, exactly how it worked. Then we get to Rav Papa's second category. His second category is V'shalom achmas hasudu so chasuda te'unim bracha lefneihem ve'ein te'unim bracha le'achareihem. Right, that's what we did not get to yet. Why is it that they're te'unim bracha lefneihem and not le'achareihem? Why are they te'unim bracha lefneihem and not le'achareihem? So here, this is going to depend very much on what we're talking about, right? What are we talking about? What do we say here? We're upon the second category. Dvarim haba'im shelo machmas hasuda shelo machmas hasuda betoch hasuda tunim bracha lefnehem velo le'achareihem. That was our papa's second category. Now, this second category of papa means something totally different according to Rashi, plus the Bahag, and Ramgon versus Tosos and all the Rishonim, right? And the Sfar is going to be totally different. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, remember, Rashi's chap that Besochasuda has nothing to do with timing. It only has to do with the type of food. And here he says it means filling foods eaten without bread. And what is the most classic example? Is daisa, right? And they need a bracha l'achreihem and not a bracha le'achreihem. What would the svara be? The svara be very pashut, right? Here, Rachel, we're asking what is the case and what is the svara? Why would they need bracha l'fneihem and not l'achreihem? So, They need a bracha lefneihem because it's not tafel lapas. And for Rashi, it's only about ikar and tafel. It's not tafel lapas. How can dice be tafel lapas? You don't eat it with the pas, according to Rashi. Obviously, the simple shot, you look at it just with the naked eye, it's not tafel lapas. You eat it totally separately. So also, why does Mirchus HaMozen cover it if it's not tafel to the pas? Mm-hmm. So Rashi's answer is, who cares? Who says Birkas HaMazon is a bracha achrona on pas? Does Birkas HaMazon say the word pas? And it does. In one place, who knows, saying lechem mechol basar kidi olam chasto. But then in a lot of places, it says other words. As a matter of fact, if you had to, you know, if I was just, you landed from Mars, I was just teaching about Judaism, and I told you there was something called Birkas HaMazon, what would you think? Is that a bracha achrona on pas? You would say, it's a bracha achrona on Mazon. I just called it Birkas HaMazon. Right? So that's what Rashi says, that that Birkas HaMazon is, now, what do I mean it's not a bracha on pas? Everyone knows if you eat mazon that's not pas, you don't say Birkas HaMazon. I don't mean to exaggerate and say that you can l'chachila say Birkas HaMazon on anything you want, but we know that b'di'eved, what did it say in Daf Yud Beis?
Yotze.
Your yotze, Birkas HaMazon if you ate? No, what is it in Dafid Beis?
Tomorrow,
right? So we see that, right, is not. So obviously, l'chatchila, it's a Birkas HaMazon on bread. You're not allowed to say it l'chatchila if you didn't eat bread. But be'etzem, it's not only in bread. It's not just bracha achrona al hapas, but bracha achrona al mazon. And
would that be equivalent to saying it's bracha on al suda?
No. For Rashi, this has nothing to do with, I mean, I don't think so. You can always turn it into that, but for Rashi, let me just give you an example as to why. What's the third category? Devarim. What's his lashon? Devarim habarim achar hasuda. Achar hasuda. Tunim bracha. Aflachrehem, right? It's lefneim vlachrehem, but for our purposes, aflachrehem. What is the case, and what is the svara for Rashi? The case for Rashi and the Bahagat Seder is very clear: is kigon peiros. Why? Because it's not mazon. Right? Now you can turn it into suda. Rashi's not really talking about the relationship to anything else. You know. You can add things into Rashi and make an unnecessary middleman, but then Rashi just says, look, so Daisa is Muslim, and Peiros are not Muslim. Daisa is Muslim, Peiros are not Muslim, and therefore, for Rashi, it's just about being Muslim. One of the kashas that everyone asks on him is, that's not the definition of Muslim that we know from Kolotar Kula. If you want to say Muzon means Kol Sheyesh Menachesh Aminim Markla Borim Zonos, that word for Daisa, but Rashi doesn't restrict to Daisa. He also says like Kruv and Trudin. And if you're saying Muzon means Kol Hazon Alai, anything but Mayim Umelach, then Peiros are also Kol Hazon Alai. And if you want to know when you make the Markla Shon of Zonos, then it doesn't include all the things Rashi puts in Rav Papa's second category. So you have to be Nidchak. The one Nidchak thing about Rashi is that he has to say there's a new definition of Muzon here, different than the definitions we find elsewhere in the Perek. Okay, there's a new definition. You're right. This is the definition of Muslim. That's a new definition of Muslim not found earlier in the Perek. It's not the definition of Kol Hazon Alai. It's not the definition of Borim Minim Zonos. It's a new definition of Muslim for the purpose of what Birkas of Muslim includes. And Rashi's willing to live with that. Who says you can't have a new definition of Muslim laying in Zeh? Okay, so it's not the end of the world. That's Rashi's scheme. Of course, this is all only Rashi's scheme because Rashi has a totally different definition as to what the case of Besoch HaSuda means and what the case of Achar HaSuda means. It's not about when you eat it. It's about what type of food it is and when it's usually eaten. Right? Achar and Betoch are about when you eat it. No, it means when you usually eat it, not when you're eating it now. But how about everyone else in the world? Or not anywhere else in the world, right? Rashi and many Gaonim versus Tosfos and the other Rishonim. At least the other Rishonim would talk about it, right? We know there's not much to say about the Rambam here. I don't think I spent a lot of time in the Rambam. Because the Kesemish has a good point. The Rambam basically quotes the Gemara. I know he adds one or two words. But it's hard to prove what the Rambam held. Okay, we're not going to miss that. Right, Tosfos and the other Rishonim. What?
The Rambam have a different gear than the other last part.
Who?
The Rambam, when he says,
no, I think that's just a shita, not a girsa. We'll see that's machlokas in a moment. There's a million machlokas here. We're only going to deal with the basic shot in the Gemara and the most lundish things. What does everyone else say? Hopefully, remember this. We had this on the board last time. Here it means peiros, kigon peiros. Eaten during Suda, literally Tocha Suda, as opposed to Kogon Peiros, eaten after the Suda. Okay, exactly what's called after the Suda, what's called before the Suda, is going to be a bit of a machlokes, right? To some Rishonim, talk about Silat Menapas, when you stop eating the bread, the Suda ends. Others talk about when you take the table off. Others talk about when you stop eating your real foods. But we're not getting into that now. The question is, what's the svara? If you're saying it was eaten after the suda, what's the svara to the chalukim bracha rishona and bracha achrona? I understand. If you eat it after the suda, it's not shaykh to the suda, so it's not shaykh to bracha rishona or bracha achrona of the suda. But why, if you eat fruits during the suda, is it shaykh to the bracha rishona and not to the bracha achrona? And you can't answer like Rashi. Oh, well, the bracha achrona is on Just say the bracha achrona is on all foods, even fruits, because then it would be true if you ate them before the suda, after the suda. For Rashi, it's about the bracha rishona is on bread and its accompaniments. The bracha achrona is on any filling foods. That's fine, but you can't say that for the rishonim, because the bracha, if you said the bracha rishona is on bread and filling foods, and the bracha achrona benching is on all foods, then it wouldn't make a difference when you ate them. So, how do you explain this? Anyone want to help me out with the svara here? What's the svara for the other Rishonim?
How come you ended up being the second case?
What?
How come you're not writing the second case?
What second case?
There's three cases.
I am writing the second case. I'm not writing the first case. We talked about that last time.
Oh, okay.
The brachas on the Birchas Hamotzi, not on Pat.
I'm not sure I understood what you meant.
It's not about pat and hatafelo, but about all foods.
Ah, because the mazon is about all foods. Well, if it's about all foods, it should be even after the suda. So you have to say a little better. Right? If it's on all foods, then it should work even for peiros after the suda. Right? Which it doesn't. So you can't just say because the mazon is on all foods, because then there'd be no third category. It would work for all foods. But maybe what you want to say is, and this is, okay, I sometimes end up regretting what I put in brackets, what I didn't. But the Baal Mor, I think, says it most clearly. He says that maybe the difference is Birkas HaMotzi is, this is back to our Chakir Birkas HaMotzi, Birkas HaMotzi is on bread and that which is tuffel to bread. Birkas HaMazon, you can't say on all foods. That would be illegal here. Birkas HaMazon is on the Suda. Right, we had sort of Chakira right here about Birkas HaMotzi. Maybe, and I think that's clearest in the Baal Mor, if you let me read you a line of Baal Mor, and then you can tell me if I am crazy. Says the Baal Mor, he says, Shalom achzah sudu b'soch ha-suda, ki gom teinu b'anam b'necholm b'fnei atzmo v'loom ha-pas, to unibracha lefnehem, she'einas in tefillin lepas. They're not tough lepas. He's clearly the side of the Chakira. I don't remember if we have it on the board, that the reason Hamotzi paters your daisa and your soup and your kugel is because it's tough lepas. It's an expanded tough lepas. But you can't say pierce tough lepas, but the ain't unibracha lechreim, shebirgs no mazon potrasan, the dati the inish al kol ma de ochal, the kol ma shebab, the socha suda. Because Birkas HaMazon is not anything that fills you up in anything that you ate, but of course he adds a magic word, besoch ha-suda, meaning Birkas HaMazon is on anything that was masbiya you in the suda, and everything is masbiya you somehow, and I think that's what, if you take the Baal Mor, let's just take the Baal Mor, the Baal Mor here, according to the Baal Mor, he would say just very poshut. It's not tafel lepas and hamotzi poter rak pas umasha tafelo, but it is part of the Suda, because it is part of the Suda, because you're a Savea. Okay, maybe I'm adding a few words in. He says, well, it's part of the Svea, and your Das is on everything, and whatever was part of the Suda, still requires that part of the Suda. It is part of the Suda, and Birkas HaMazon is Birkas HaMazon Shayach l'suda, the lav davka l'pas. What I'm claiming is that maybe this is the one difference between bracha mishona and achrona. The bracha mishona is only a pas and a tuffle to the pas. The bracha achrona is on the suda, and therefore it's not part of the pas, but it is part of the suda. Of course, that's only the pasuk. If you eat after the suda, it's too late to be part of the suda. It's too late to be part of the suda. Either then you could say it's not even part of the Suda. Okay, that's one way of explaining the difference between Bracha Rishona and and bracha achrona. The Meiri seems to have a totally different way of understanding bracha, the difference between bracha rishona and bracha achrona. He says it's not that fundamentally al pilundus, the bracha rishona covers different things than the bracha achrona. Rashi says al pilundus, bracha rishona is on pas, bracha achrona is on all filling foods. The Baal Mori thing says al pilundus, bracha rishona is on pas, obviously including tafel for both of them, bracha achrona is on the suda. The Meiri has a very different way of saying the distinction. Anyone notice what the Meiri thought the distinction was? Let's see. Already by the time he describes it, he describes it very differently. You had fruits intended for dessert. And you jumped up, meaning you jumped the gun. And you ate them during the Suda, meaning it was something sort of unexpected, right? He's giving you an aura of unexpectedness, of surprise. Ah, the peros were, whoever eats peros during Suda, come on, everyone knows you eat the peros after the Suda. He's saying this case is, it's funny, he sort of defines Lomach Suda, Sofa Suda, the same way Rashi defines Acher Suda. He says what it means is things that you didn't plan to eat during the Suda, but you change your mind. Right? You saw the dessert. Oh, delicious dessert. Okay. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you've ever done this, but I bet I get a lot of hands. You're in the middle of the meal, but you see the delicious dessert on the counter, whatever. So you sneak a little dessert in the middle of the meal. That's the way the Meir is describing it. Right? Shalom tzorch liftan tu'una brach lifnayim why? Shalom ola al hadas lios nechlan birkstapas. You could have included it in Hamotzi. You could have. It's not that fundamentally it's not part of Motzi. You could have included Motzi if you wanted to, but you didn't have Das to include it in Hamotzi because you thought you were going to eat it after the Suda, right? Hamotzi is going on the whole Suda, but you didn't have Das to include in Hamotzi because you thought you were going to eat it after the Suda. And we call Malkim to Bracha, you have to make a Bracha Achrona, Kamen Shenitma'u, Nitma'u, with an Ayin. He goes, once they're assimilating to the Suda, they're assimilating to the Suda. Meaning, when you say Ramotzi, you didn't have Das of the candy in between the soup and the chicken. But obviously, by the time you bench, you do have Das because you already ate it and it's already there. The difference is purely chronological. It's not a fundamental conceptual difference between Bracha Rishona and Achrona. It's just a technical chronological difference. Beforehand, you didn't know that you would be weird and eat dessert during the meal. Afterwards, it's already a fact that you ate dessert during the meal, and what's the facts on the ground are facts on the ground. That's the way the Meiri describes. Again, very, very different from the fundamentally different from the Baal Mori, says the Meiri, and I think what the Meiri is saying is that, this goes back to your last sentence, no, everything could cover the whole Sutta. But here, it could have been covered by Hamotzi. It could have been covered by Hamotzi, but it's not covered by Hamotzi, but you didn't have Das. By the time you get to the Bracha Achrona, it was already part of your Suda. You already know it's part of your Suda, right? It's already here. I'm also adding a word. It's already known that it joined the Seuda. So the difference is just a matter of Das. And, of course, this is all within the Suda. In this case, if it's not even part of the Suda, then Das is irrelevant. Das is only relevant for something that's part of the Suda. If it's not part of the Suda, then it doesn't matter what you know and when you know it. It's irrelevant. Meaning Hamotzi and Birkas Hamotzi could both pater anything that's part of the Suda. The difference is, did you have Das or did you not have Das? So those are two fundamentally different ways, besides Rashi, within Tosfos the Rishonim, why in these, when you have your candy, right? Fruits was candy in the old days, but it hadn't yet invented candy. Candy was invented much later. Why if you have your candy in between the soup and the chomet, do you have to say Shahakol, but not Ibor Nefashos? So one shot is, it's not packed by Hamotzi. Hamotzi is only bread, and candy can't connect to the bread. But it is packed by Birkas Hamotzi. The Birkas Hamotzi is the whole Suda, and you ate it during the Suda. But the other pshat is, no, it could have been potter by a motzi and a mazon. A motzi and a mazon are equal in lamdas. It's just that when you said a motzi, you never dreamed you would eat candy between the soup and the chalet. And then you surprise yourself by giving in to your sweet tooth. By the time you get to benching, the candy's already established as part of the sunda, and you know it, and therefore it is potter. That's the Meiri's approach. Okay, many of the Rishonim also deal with this. Not all of them have formulations that are so clear, but let's see some of the other Rishonim's formulations here. For example, if we look at the Ravid, let's start with something out in the brackets. If we look at the Rush, for example, what does the Rush say? the Rush says that Dvar Abayim Shalomach Masasudu Yom Teinu Vanavim Chol Minei Peiros Umikri Shalomach Masasudu V'she'enen Kamo Batsam Dagim Minei Meluchim Shereginu Lecho Lovo L'Ikr Suda Lefneim Tunim Brach Lishu Bekir Mazan Yom Potartan Kim Lam Me'ikr Suda Him. Yeah? Anything that's part of the Suda.
So then, like, once you already eat the food and you bench on it, you also, Hamotzi also worked on it.
Oh, no. I take it back. Hamotzi is Patrick is part of the Suda. The same way Hagafen patters all wine. But if I say a Hagafen thinking to drink only one bottle of wine and then change my mind and take out another bottle of wine, I have to say another Hagafen. If I say Hadama thinking to eat cucumbers, and then I change my mind and decide to also eat a tomato, I have to say another Hadama. So even though I'm multi-patch everything in the Suda, there's still a Tanaya that only if you had it in your Das.
You make a comment, but somebody brings in a really fancy roll. Why would you have to make a motion on that too if you go by that?
Maybe you would. That's a general question. If you make a bracha on something, then someone brings you more of it. Do you have to make another bracha or not? So that's a great question, which we have to figure out some place to stick
in the story in the Gemara. That's a story for Papa and the other Amoraim that they.
Correct.
Because
correct.
Said, I was
and the answer is it, it right. And the answer is it really depends what your das is there. It does sort of come out of the story of Papa that if I make a bracha on my bread and I finish eating my bread and then I get a surprise gift from my friend of another loaf of bread, I would say another hamotzi, right? As you pointed out, unless I was expecting it. Mm-hmm. And we don't, you know, but here you never expected to eat candy in the middle of your meal. What if you always did it? Then I don't know, maybe the meal would say the halacha is different. That's not who Papa was talking about. Papa was talking about, I don't know, mature people.
We do. We have sweet kugels and simmers.
No, but those are meal foods. Those aren't
sweet as could be.
No, but the point is, they're things we expected to eat. Here, we're talking about things you didn't expect to eat.
So the kids that are, the whole reason they're eating the challah and eating everything else is because you're saying no dessert unless you eat this. No dessert unless you eat this. How can I say that they're not, they should fit right into the Meiri?
And I don't know. It could mean that you would give in at a certain point in a Hanami. And a Hanami, he might say in a Hanami.
Tosfos doesn't explain at all why, in the second case, the covenant of Dirk Samoza.
Correct. Tosfos never explains it.
The only thing that he says is that that's basically Rav Huna Rav Nachman Halacha.
Which you go back to what he said there, he didn't explain. So
the
I don't know.
What he says there is that because of Kinoa, dead for Kinoa.
Which is not an explanation. Exactly. I don't know. He doesn't explain that. How can I say? I don't know. He must hold like what someone else says, but which someone else? I have no way of knowing. What does the Rush say here? He says, "Because I'm multi and provisional, I'm the ikar suda hein." They're not in the ikar suda, but because I'm mazon, it does pater kol masha achlu besocha suda. They're not the ikar suda, but they are in the suda. You know, he says, well, they're not Iker Suda, but they're Suda. What does he mean by, what he means is pretty, what he means on the surface level is very clear. They're not the Iker Suda, but they are part of the Suda. The question is,
why is that different than Lachara Suda?
What?
Why is that any different?
No, Lachara Suda is not even part of the Suda at all.
What? But it's Bergerd of Samazon.
But that's not part of the Suda. You're defining Suda as until there's a Muslim, and the Gemara is defining Suda as until you take away the table. How can you say anything to Tefillah Kesubot is the Suda? I don't understand. If I eat and I forgot to bench and I went outside and played soccer, am I still in the Suda? No, the Suda's over. Just because I forgot to bench doesn't mean the Suda's not over. Here, there's a lot of Rishonim who don't necessarily explain the Lumdus. They just sort of describe it, like the Rush says. Oh, it's not part of the Iker Suda, but it is Besocha. It is Besocha Suda. What does he mean by that? Like, what's the Lumdus behind it? Why should the Hamotzi only potter the Iker Suda? But Birkas HaMazon potters anything in the Suda, even if it's not the Iker Suda, even if it's just a side part of the Suda, like Tanim HaNavim, he doesn't, most of the Rishonim here, don't terribly explain. Mm-hmm. Nirlani is dictated that the Lumdus is similar to what the Baal HaMor is saying. I think that this is also the Svara. I can't prove it. You can feel free to disagree if you want. This is probably also the Lumdus of, for example, the Rush. What does the Rush says? Eino Iker Hasuda, but it is Bisoch Hasuda. What do we get there? What is the Iker? So I think what he, again, you could, if you want to have another Lumdus of the Rush, I'm perfectly willing to hear. You want to just say it's Xeris and Hatsa, multi potters, Iker Suda, and Birkas HaMazon potters Suda. But I just don't know why anyone would say that. So if you want to ask me the Svar of the Rush, I would say probably the same as why? Because only Iker Suda is Tafel Lapas, but Birkas HaMazon is not a Davka about Pas, so I think that it could very well be that many Rishonim who don't necessarily they explain without explaining the Lumdus, they just say, well, it's not Iker Suda, but it is Besoch HaSuda. What they mean is Birkas HaMazon is Baruch on the Suda, Birkas HaMotzi is Baruch on the Pas, which through this special expansion of Iker Ritafel, Pas also is the Iker and everything in the Suda becomes Tafel to the Pas. But what becomes Tafel to the Pas? Iker Suda becomes Tafel to the Pas. Things that are just coincidentally in the Suda are part of the Suda, but are not Tafel to the Pas. So Nirlani is Daiti. I think he's more along the lines of the Baal HaMor and not the Meiri. The Rashba has a somewhat similar formulation. What does the Rashba say? He says that Veod Shalu, he says, that he has a little bit of a chiddush. He says they're not lafes mamish, but and the birk zapas she bracha brur lapas is not poteris then. Even though they come in the middle of the suda, they say yeah, tsas ba achila. They help your achila a little because they give you a little bit more of an appetite. You call welcome on the gamri machas king. What does he say about peiros? He has a unique vart. He says peiros are appetizers. They give you more of an appetite for the bread, but you don't eat them as an appetizer. You eat them for a sweet tooth. Lahana, he says. Lahanas atzmo. When we call makom, say yeah, tavza machal or the raboso bo bemza, and therefore he says that's why they don't need a bracha achrona. They don't need a bracha achrona because since they're marve taivas hamaychol, and they do help the suda, and they also give you mazon. Therefore, they're helping the suda, but he says, since they're not, what does he mean by not malafis? One second. Kid Rav Huna, and then later on Rav Papa, he says, like Rav Huna. So I think he's basically the same as the Baal HaMor. He's just a twist on the Baal HaMor. He's a twist on the Baal HaMor. What did the Rashba say? The Rashba says that it's not lilafes, by which he means that it's not lilafes ulamazon, since it's not Lilafes ulamazon, therefore it's not included, and here he says explicitly, not included in the Mishnah Tzedarot instead of the Baal HaMor, Birkas HaPas, but, and here he just says something a little different than the Baal HaMor. The Baal HaMor says it is part of the Suda. Why? Because it's Masbia. It does fill you up. It's not a classic nutrition food, but it really fills up. He says just subtly different. It's really almost the exact same thing. It is part of the Suda because it does help your appetite. It makes you hungrier for bread. When you eat fruits during the Suda, he even says, why do they eat the fruits during the Suda and not after the Suda? Oh, because they really want the sweet tooth. But its secondary intention was to give them more of a, to give you more of an appetite. So again, the Rashba and the Baal HaMor, I think, are very clearly, and I put the Rosh there as well, that Birkas HaMotzi is fundamentally at the pas, but you chop other things with the pas. Birkas HaMotzi is fundamentally about the Suda, and that's why these fruits are not included in Birkas HaMotzi, but are included in the Birkas HaMazon. The Ravid is a little trickier. I don't know if anyone has an opinion.
Like those with pasta about the kisim, that they, you eat a little amount, it's just for a little sweetness, but it's part of the Birkas HaMazon.
Right, Tosos is a little mysterious. Like, why, just because you eat a little? No, Tosos was within Rav Sheshes. Right. Here within Rav Huna, Rav Nachman.
No,
so.
Yeah.
Could very well be, but he wasn't saying because of an appetizer right. There. The Ravid's Lashon, I admit, is a little unclear. He says, Tein and Vanovim are just L'tayel or L'kinuach HaPeh, or just for fun. Therefore, they need bracha lefnehem because of, they're not machba sasuda. But achrein, you don't need. What does it say? Kevan sha'achlam socha suda. Once you ate them during the suda, far asam tzarchei suda. You made them into tzarchei suda. Asher shem tzrichim l'nachas tevin. Maybe you need to cleanse your palate. I'm not sure exactly what you need for that. But it just means since you already ate them like the meiri, originally they weren't part of the hamotzi. But once you already ate them, they became part of the suda. It's just a chronological difference. Or is he saying a lundish difference? They're not part of the Suda, but they're not Machmasa Suda, but they are Tzarche Suda. Okay, so if no one has an opinion here, I'm going to leave that off the board. Basically, to summarize and to finish up.
Is that what the Miri says in Toshi Bitmu and Bitmu?
Yeah, that's what I think, that he sounds a little more like the Miri. Not necessarily Das, but like originally they're not part of the Suda. But once you ate them, Kevan Sha'achlam, they sort of become part of the Suda from now on. It's maybe a chronological difference. So maybe the Ravid is similar. Maybe the Ravid is similar to the Meiri, but I'm not going to swear and say for Torah. But Bekitzer, what I'm basically claiming is that there are three ways to understand the Hemshech of Rav Papa. According to Rashi, there's a very clear way. It has nothing to do with timing, nothing to do with Chalos Suda. Because Bitzocha and Achar don't mean Chalos Suda. Suda, it's just that the second category is not part of Hamotzi, because Hamotzi is only on the pas and that which is Tafelo, but it is part of Birkas HaMazon, because the Muslims are all filling foods. And the third category is foods that aren't really filling, just meat. The other Rishonim say either, like the Meiri, really anything that's in Hamotzi and Birkas HaMazon both cover the Suda. The difference is just chronological, technical. Hamotzi, you didn't know you would have this in your Suda. And by Birkas HaMazon, you already knew you had it in your Suda. And after your Suda, it's too late. It's the top part of the Suda. Or, like the Baal HaMor and the Rashba, I think the Ravid, no, it's a lundish code. Hamotzi and Birkas HaMazon are not parallel. They might look parallel, but they're not parallel. Same as for Rashi. Hamotzi is on the bread, and that which is tafelo, and everything is tafel to the bread if it's a main part of the meal. If it's a main part of the meal, or if it's for muzzle. The Birkas HaMazon is part of the Suda, and the Suda includes even things that are not part of the muzzle, even things that are not connected to the bread at all, as long as they either fill your stomach a little, or you eat them during the Suda, or they help whet your appetite. That's enough to chop it as part of the Suda. And of course, the third category of Papa after the Suda is after the Suda. Okay, so hopefully now we have a clear understanding of Rav Papa. There's a lot of other technical machlokos. Obviously, I'm using my judgment as to what I consider to be more technical machlokos and what I consider to be the ikar of this. In the Rishonim here, which maybe we'll summarize by paskening halacha l'maisa. So now that we understand the basic lumdus of what people are saying, let's paskin halacha lemaisa.
What about the Rambam?
What about the Rambam? Again, I'll fight with AB here. I don't have much to say about the Rambam because the Rambam doesn't tell us terribly much. The riff also.
I went to the Holy Hilchos Brachos on Shabbos to see if you can prove that the Rambam holds that the Birkas HaMazon is a bracha and suda or not, and I wasn't successful.
Okay. So if Ebi's not successful in figuring out Pshat on the Rambam, and Rav Nachum's not with us anymore, then no one's going to figure it out.
That's right. So according to Tosfos Lechora, you don't have to make a bracha chorma. And according to the Rambam, you do.
Well, make things. Where did the Rambam say anything?
The Rambam said la'achar suda, beg machmata suda, ben shalom.
Oh, sorry, you mean la'achar suda? You said. Sorry, I wasn't listening. Yeah, there seems to be a machlokas about lachar suda. We'll get to that in a second. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let us just chazer for a second. The halacha lemaisa says the Shulchan Aruch dvarim barim socha suda im hein dvarim barim machlas suda dainu dvarim shederach likubo suda aleim lelafis b'emes hapas v'om basav dagim beitzim yirakos u'gvina v'daisa u'minei meluchim afilo ochlam b'lo pas ein tunim brach lefnehem, etc. What does he say here? Interestingly, he clearly passes by Tosos and the other Rishonim against Rashi. He includes Daisa as one of the things that Hamotzi patters against Rashi. But in terms of the Lumdus, he does say Lalafes Behemoth HaPas, which seems to imply that he's not on the Lumdish side of the Rav. He doesn't sound like the Lumdish side of the Rav and the Aruch HaShulchan. The Pshat of the Mechaber is that no, really everything but sweets is covered by a motzi. But why? Because the lobster is all tuffled to the pasta. So if I had to pick which way he's passing, he's clearly passing like Tosos. The Mishnah Berurah makes that very clear. He says, lalafes behem, even daisa, it doesn't mean literally lalafes. It means anything that's an ikar suda that's coming to fill you up. And then he says in base, the lumbus is indeed pollen lehapas. So I think that certain pshat, let's do the halacha lemaisa. In terms of Rashi versus Tosfos, someone remind me to bring a new black marker. Who wants to take that price? Okay. He's clearly like Tosfos and Shah Rishonim in terms of the lumdus of Tosfos and Shah Rishonim. That's what Mishnah Berurah explicates in Simchat Aleph, the Mishnah Berurah Simchat Beis. I think also has a reasonable diuk. Since he says even daisa, even everything, but nonetheless throws in the word lalafis tapas. It's not literally. You're not literally lalafis tapas with daisa. No one, I know you dip your pita in hummus. No one dips their pita in oatmeal or farina. But nonetheless, he called lalafis tapas, maybe trying to say like that, side of the lumdus of, maybe it's side of the lumdus that it is what we call an expanded Iker v'tafel, not that Hamotzi is on a suit as opposed to bread. That is seemingly what he implies. And then he says, "V'imei dvarim shalom machlus asuda shenu derech likbo asuda lein lafzim as a pasul te'ein v'anav v'chol minei peiros im ochlo sam below pasul and brachlof neim debrakas Hamotzi eino po tartan." Etc. We'll come back to that in a moment. Udvarma varm la'achra suda kodin berkz amazon. Shaya minig mechach meg marsha v'sofa suda hiyo moshka midem in apas v'mesirin oso. V'kovin atzon lechol peiros lishtos komashim v'yim. Az lefneim bein varm ha'bam machsa suda in dvarma varm shalom machsa suda tunim bracha bein lefneim elachareihem. So here we have the... what do we buy? He's like Tosfos. What do we buy like Tosfos is that all meal foods get no bracha, and sweets get bracha rishona below achrona. How about if you eat your sweets? You know, before we'll go in order. How about if you eat your sweets with bread? So there are two cases discussed in rishona. We didn't discuss most of these things. What about eating your sweets with bread? So, if you eat your sweets with bread, so that's one issue. Halacha Maisa. Second issue, Halacha Maisa. What about sweets with bread, right? You make a cherry sandwich. Take out the pits first, my advice. But you make a cherry sandwich or a grape sandwich or what have you. So what does he say here? Also in Sif Aleph.
If at first you ate them
with bread, and in the end you ate them with bread, and in the middle you ate them without bread, you don't even need a bracha rishona. Anyone remember which rishon this is? Who says, if you start eating your fruits with bread, and you end with bread, and you just eat them by themselves in the middle, then they're potter from bracha rishona. We had it on the board last time. I checked the board before shir. You can't fool me. Right?
Rabbeinu Yonah.
That was Rabbeinu Yonah, yes. What's the chiddush? Because he understood that it was only about fruits, and it was talking about fruit sandwich. What's the chiddush in fruit sandwich? The chiddush is, even if you have a fruit sandwich, then some fruit, then another fruit sandwich, then you're still potter. This is Rabbeinu Yonah. I bet on the side the Varagola also says Rabbeinu Yonah. Harash. Okay. So the Rush, as usual, follows Rabbeinu Yonah. He usually, he often, let's say, follows Rabbeinu Yonah. But the truth is that here it's really not Rabbeinu Yonah, because the Bir Halacha points, really not the Rush. The Bir Halacha points out that it's really Machlokas Rishonim. The Rabbeinu Yonah says that you need to have the beginning and end, and then it also potters the middle. But he points out the Rosh and the Torah, and I think we can add the Rashba as well, which he doesn't quote here for whatever reason, says that as long as you start eating with bread, that's good enough. Mm-hmm. As long as you start eating it with bread, that's good enough. There's actually a third sheet. If you look at that Gos Maimonios, the Beis Yosef says he doesn't mean it. But if you look at what he says, as opposed to what the Beis Yosef says he means, that Gos Maimonios on the bottom of the Rambam here, the Gos Maimonios is pretty clear what he means, and he means a lot of radical things. He says that even if you eat it with the bread, you need the bracha, okay, the Beis Yosef says he doesn't mean it, but what about sweets with the bread? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Potter, mi bracha rishona, if you have beginning and end, and the Bir Halacha quotes, if you people agree with him, the Rush and the Tor, okay, the Rashba, we should also add, but that's where he says, no, Potter, if even in the beginning, the Hagos Maimonides says never Potter. And the way the Beis Yosef understood him is that he means even if you're at the beginning and the end, you're not potter when you eat them separately. It's not so clear exactly what he, it's not 100% clear exactly what he what he meant. One second. Where is this? Yes. The Hagos Maimonios, Lefi the Beis Yosef, says, you always need bracha rishona on says you always need bracha rishona on the fruits eaten without the bread, even if you start and end with bread. You start with the grape sandwich, end with the grape sandwich. But if you eat one grape in the middle, you always need a bracha. So there are at least three shitas. Yeah, the pshat that goes on else is that even the grape sandwich you need a ha'etz. But okay, the achronim assume that no one really has that. Shita. The
The Mishnah Berurah quotes all these different shitas. Lamaisa, the Machaber, Paskins, like Rabbeinu Yonah, you need the beginning and the end. He says you need the beginning and the end. This is the Machaber, and this is the Ikar Adin. This is the Ikar Adin. Says the Mishnah Berurah, though, we're choshesh for all the other shitas. That's one of the Biralacha, one of the Mishnah. How are we choshesh for the other shitas? We're choshesh for the Rush and the Torah, which again is also the Rashba, if you look inside. How so? If you start with fruit, then don't like, if you start with fruit, don't then continue. If you start with bread, don't then continue and eat grapes alone and say a bracha. Better, once you started grapes with bread, and then you want to eat grapes on themselves, well, if you say a bracha, it's a bracha latol according to the Rush of the Torah. So it's better to just eat mostly grapes by themselves and end with grapes together, with grapes on bread. And then he, in Simchat Yoni, points out a lot of Rakhul and Machla, and Gorbam Moni, says, really the best thing would be to say basically here, beer halacha says he's machmir to avoid. He says, you know what? Avoid the case of starting with bread and then continuing independently, because then you get into Machlokas, Rasha, and Rabbeinu Yonah. So never start eating grapes with bread and finish eating grapes by themselves, because then you get into a Machlokas. Even though Me'ikra didn't you follow Rabbeinu Yonah. Or in this case, the Mishnah Berurah, quoting many Achronim, is Machmir to avoid. Then he says, you know what really is even better? Which then makes this irrelevant. Avoid any case of eating grapes by themselves, even if you have them with bread before and after. Oh, what if you want to do that? He says the best thing is first have grapes on themselves and say ha'etz, and then you don't have to worry about what happens later. So how do you avoid these things? Again, I'm not going to roll the board. He says avoid getting into the machlokas Russian Rabbeinu Yonah by, if you started with bread and then ate without bread, always finish with bread. And avoid the whole issue in the first place, like there's my money goes, but whenever you're planning to have some with bread and some without bread, always start without bread, and then you can say ha'etz, and then you're going to say all the shittas.
Would this whole back and forth about sweets with bread also apply to, like, fruit jellies and jams in addition to just, I don't know, having, like, a grape sandwich?
I'm assuming not, because jellies and jams are classic liftan, so that would not be controversial. Because everyone knows you eat them on bread. It's not. I don't mean sweet versus non-sweet. I mean the kind of things you're supposed to eat in a meal versus the kind of things you're supposed to eat for a sweet snack. Okay, that is the first part. Yeah.
What does eating at the end do? I mean,
what's the story of Rabbeinu Yonah? If I start with grapes with bread and end with bread, and in the middle have them independently, then since I started with bread and ended with bread, the middle is like swallowed up by the beginning and the end, and it's considered to also be with bread. As long as I started eating with them with bread and ended eating them with bread, then it's as if I ate it all with bread. I realize I haven't actually answered your question, just restated it. But, you know, I think it does make a certain degree of common sense, I guess is what I'm saying. Let's just continue. Dvarim Bar Mila Achar Suda we read. How about Achar Suda? What's the definition of Achar Hasuda? There are two main shitas in defining Achar Hasuda, right? What is the definition of Achar Hasuda? What does Tosa say the definition, imply the definition of Achar Hasuda is? He doesn't say, he implies? No, that's the chiddush, after you see like a day and then a pass, right? And that's also what the Mechaber says. Says the Mechaber, quoting Tosfos, how you moshkin yedayim and a pass. They stopped eating the bread. Umesivin also, remove the bread. The kovenatz one, etc. And then, we don't have this because Einar Megillah Mishnah Chedayim and our Pasuk of Amazon says this exactly. Quoting Tosos, we keep eating bread until benching. We never stop eating bread. So says the Tosfos. He's not the only one. The Mechaber Moshchem Yedehem Min HaPas. They stop eating bread. However, what's the other popular pshat in the Rishonim?
Does Rashi define? No, not within Rashi, within us.
What's the other popular way to define Achar Hasuda? What?
Right, and he quotes here from the Rashba and the Rabbeinu Yonah. Tough ratio of the Mishnah is Rabbeinu Yonah, because really Talmid of Rabbeinu Yonah. How do we know it's Talmid of Rabbeinu Yonah? Because whenever they actually quote Rabbeinu Yonah, they said Rebbe said. So the Rush and the Rabbeinu Yonah said Siluk HaShulchan. Now Siluk HaShulchan, and we say, but nowadays we never keep this third line of our Papa, right? Because we never have Achar Suda nowadays. Only in the old days they had.
Yeah.
So, according to the Rosh Hashanah, it makes more sense. Taka now, we're never really misalik the shulchan, right? I never sit at home at a Shabbos meal and then a table. It's not so posh that Tosfos is right nowadays. We never stop eating the bread. Let me take the question.
When you're in a chasana, you know, at the second dance after the main course, you get up and dance, you come back, the table is totally cleared off, and then they bring you dessert.
Ah, so the table's cleared off, but it's not removed. They don't move the table. So it's an interesting question. How about nowadays we call clearing the table? Does that count like siluk hashulchan in the old days? One could certainly think that what we call clearing the table is equivalent to what they called siluk hashulchan. And I think there would be a common sense like that, but there's a line in the Brewer here. I'm not finding it here. Okay, Lemaisa, the poskim assume that it's not so posh. If you would ask me my common sense, I would say what we call clearing the table is the equivalent of siluk hashulchan. Not bring a new course, etc. Clearing the table, you take off all the plates, you bring different kinds of plates, etc. I would have called that like siluk hashulchan, but the poskim assume no. As long as the shulchan is there, then it is still there. Let me just point out that, let me just give you a psak. Halacha Lemaisa from the Bir Halacha says the Bir Halacha. He brings a machlokes achronim, and he seems to be machria like the, what does he say? He says, you should know that some people say tzilk ha-shulcha, not misalkin yedehem min ha-pas. Amnam, the other poskim sounds like the Tor, the Rabbeinu Hananel, and the Rambam, and the Tosfos Rabbi Yehuda, Sir Leon, and the Rosh, and Agos Maimonios, and Sharkad Monolos, Kiro Klali, and Siluk HaShulchan, Raksha Mashko Yedeyim, Min HaPas. So, the Bir Halacha is Machria, like the Mechaber and Tosfos. This becomes very, very interesting. Is it really true that nowadays are dessert, right? So let's say someone has fruit for dessert. So I think most people, you have fruit for dessert, and you say, hey, do you say a bracha achrona on the fruit for dessert?
No.
Why not? Because nowadays, we never have achra suda where you need a bracha achrona. A fruit for dessert is after a papa second case. Lo machra suda, socha suda. It's not achra suda. Why isn't dessert achra suda? So it's not so clear. Why is dessert not achra suda? Because it's a little unclear in our metzias, right? Why is dessert not achra suda? Is it because we weren't misalik b'shulchan?
Yeah.
Well, except the Mishnah Berurah says that that's a das yochid in the Rishonim, and that we possibly it doesn't depend on siluk hashulchan. Depends on mashach yedeim in a pas. It must be because we weren't mashach yedeim in a pas. We keep eating bread even through the dessert course. Is that so pashit k'mitzias?
Isn't the minhag you leave challah on until benching?
Aha. So there is a minhag to leave. We'll see a little later in Tosfos Daf Mem Beis Min Aleph. A minhag to leave the challah until benching for more spiritual reasons, as it were, so that to enhance the benching, both in terms of the shemach la'odah and in terms of the bracha that's chal that's shori on our table la'asid. But this would be another good reason, right? This would be a good, proper chumrah. Leave the challah on the table through desserts, that if anyone wants challah, they keep eating challah, and that way you justify not being a bracha achrona on dessert l'kuli alma. You don't have to get into, is it shiluk hashulchan, is it mashiach, is it mashiach, is it mashiach's yadav in a pas, and what counts as shiluch hashulchan, what doesn't count as shiluch hashulchan. If you're leaving the bread on the table and offering people bread, and some people might be interested in eating bread, you never know. Our challah, especially for Ashkenazim, right? Our challah is basically also dessert, right? Our challah is cake. A dietitian once told me, don't think challah is bread. Challah is cake.
What about taking off the tablecloth? Would that be considered shiluch?
Challah is so holy that you don't have to listen to dietitians about challah. You can listen to them about licorice and sour sticks, fine. You don't have to listen to them about challah. Heilig challah. They have no right to talk about. But scientifically, they're right. So if you leave the challah on, it's so delicious and yummy that someone might say, oh, it's even better than chocolate cake. You know, the chocolate cake's a little dry today, but the challah is a delicious cake, and therefore you won't be moshe today in a pass, and you don't have to feel guilty about following the Shulchan Aruch and wondering whether the Metzias is still true, Bezman
Hazeh. Is the Siluk HaShulchan the same Siluk HaShulchan in Issur V'Heter that is matir to have milchiks after the pledged meal?
Well, except that there, you also need Birkas HaMazon, Rabbi Tam says. And once you hear you have Birkas HaMazon, then there's no interesting halachic halachic brachas shaylas anyway. So I wouldn't draw a parallel, because over there you need Siluk HaShulchan and Birkas HaMazon. But there also, interestingly, there's a, they talk about Siluk HaShulchan. What counts as Siluk HaShulchan there is a good question.
Are we saying Siluk HaShulchan in Dashka?
Because the Mishnah Berurah says in the Bir Halacha that even though the Rosh Hashanah Yonah says this, all the Rishonim disagree and say like Tosfos and the Machaber. That's what he says. I'll read it to you again. The Eli Rabba quotes from the Rashba and the Rabbeinu Yonah Siluk HaShulchan on the Mishari Poskim Nira Kahator, that it's about Moshe Kadim and Apas. That Rabbeinu Hananel or Zeruah, a Sefer HaAruch, Rambam, Tosfos Rabbeinu Yehuda, Rosh, Hagos Maimonios, Vishari Kadmonim. The other Mishnah was Kiru Klali in Siluk HaShulchan, Raksha Mashkui Damon HaPas. Okay, so if you want to justify why does no one make bracha achrona on desserts nowadays, right? We all make bracha rishona on desserts, just like, because desserts are not machmas asuda, they're sweets, right? We all make bracha rishona on desserts. What about we make shahakol if we have ices for desserts, and if we have candy platter for desserts, we make ha'eitz if we have grapes and cherries and blueberries for dessert. We make hadama if we have pineapple and melon for dessert. Should we make mazono so we have cake for dessert? I promise to get back to you, and I'm not fulfilling my promise yet. But, not lamaisa, but maybe, right? Many people do. We're not going to paskin yet. But no one makes a bracha achrona for dessert. Why does no one make a bracha achrona for dessert? Isn't dessert achar hasuda in Rav Papa's third category? So one answer might be, because we don't take away the table. And even though we clear the table, maybe clear it, and we leave the tablecloth on at least, but the problem is the Mishnah Berurah says we don't rely on that. So it must be, because we're not Moshe Chadeim in a pass. So therefore, it probably behoove us to not be Moshe Chadeim in a pass, to not have to feel, to not have to get into halachic awkwardness. Yes?
There are many weddings and fancy events, so like all the main course, they serve it to you, and afterwards they clear everything, and then it's a buffet dessert. And people don't usually sit at their tables, they go around different plates. Isn't that like so much fun?
Ah, you're saying, what if they, masalik, it's interesting. I saw in like the Zosa Brach that are post-game, like, hate to admit there's ever a Siluk HaShulchan, Moshe Chadeim, and a pasta. It's a little hard to say, like, at a wedding. You know, they cleared off the table. Correct. If you want pas, they're not going to give it to you, right? They already closed the kitchen, right? And they set up the Viennese table, and they're masalik your shulchan, and they're Moshe Chadeim, and a pas. Yeah, how about these weddings? Is there any reason why people don't say a bracha achrona on dessert at a wedding?
I heard once that's because of the Tosfos and Tzachim. The Tosfos is talking about the Yemes HaShulchan, Gavi Kiddush. The Tosfos says that you can cover it as long as you cover it, as long as you change the tablecloth or cover the food, it's considered like you're moving the table. That's Tosfos' assumption.
Okay.
You put the cover on the challah, and then you take it off. It's like you brought in a new table.
The answer is, right, the real answer is no weddings. I don't know if there's a good reason why not to say a bracha achrona on the dessert.
They don't change the tablecloth.
No, they remove the tablecloth. God rain in a lot of weddings. As a matter of fact, right, and you're clearly Moshe Chadeim in a pas at the weddings. It's hard to say you're not mushing your dame in a pass. If they clear up all the bread,
they keep,
lock the kitchen.
Keep the big piece of bread by the chasan kala the whole time.
Okay, maybe. Anyway, I don't know. It's
bring a sandwich to work. And you have an apple. There is no more bread left. You just ate your
sandwich. And nonetheless, we don't consider that the poskim right. Dude, that's not mushing your dame in a pass because you just finished your bread. You're not fundamentally stopped eating bread. Maybe the same thing there. It's a good question how to justify the minigo. Hold on, let's leave that a little bit sort of Ian for now.
Going back to the Mishnah.
Maybe we'll fill it in.
The Mishnah said that if someone has pairs with their pass, but then continues to pairs without the pass afterwards, in order to be cautious for the Mayona, you should just have a little pass at the end with your pairs together. Mm-hmm. Isn't that, and then that'll solve the bracha shaila for the various yadim. Isn't that just using pas in order to
Okay, so
against Mishnah Berurah from last year?
So I'll point out one other thing about the Mishnah Berurah here. I'll point out one other thing about the Mishnah Berurah here, which is he says that even the Rabbeinu Yonah, it doesn't work. It's not the same thing. That's when you didn't really want to eat the bread. Here, you want to eat the bread a lot. It's just a question of what you're eating with things and what you're eating without things. It's not exactly the same.
But you didn't want the bread to part of this food.
But if it's mamish malafes, that might not make a difference.
It's covering the middle stuff.
But you have the bridge. Anyway, what the Mishnah does say, I meant to point out in some tests, I think, is that the Rabbeinu Yonah trick doesn't work, and maybe this will also answer the question, if you're doing it as a trick. It doesn't work to say, I'll just have like my first bite of fruit with like a little, put it on some bread, my last bite of fruit on a little bread and use a Rabbeinu Yonah, even besides the fact that it's good to be mashmer, like for the Antonios. He says it has to be authentic, like I'm actually having a real sandwich and like really accompanying my bread. Now, I can decide to be authentic artificially, but it has to be authentic, not just yoin tzayin, and one has to use common sense in drawing the line, which is why if you're going to have fruits during your meal, the Rabbeinu Yonah solution is not the most ideal solution because A, you have to make sure you're doing it authentically, as the Mishnah Berurah says. He says, that's only if they were really meant for the Malafta Pas, not as an excuse. You really want a grape sandwich, which is pretty rare. Not to mention the fact it's good to be machmer and goes by money anyway, and therefore the best thing to do is to always make eats on fruits during the meal, and even if you're going to have some fruits with some bread, eat some without bread first, and make eats, and then you get out of all your suffering. I'll mention one last thing from this Bir Halacha in the end of Sif Beis. Something was very ambiguous. What about if it's Machmas Hasuda, Achar Hasuda?
Yeah.
Which way does that go?
Mm-hmm.
That's a clue we had. Shalom Achmas Sudam Sofa Sudam Machmas Sudam Sofa Sudam. Then we get Achra Suda. But is Achra Suda only within Lo Machmas? Or is it in general? Meaning, how do you parse Rav Papa? How do you parse Rav Papa? Well, what are the two ways to parse Rav Papa? Let's see if we can squeeze these onto the board. This is going to be our fourth issue, Halacha L'maisa. How do you parse Rav Papa? Is it that Rav Papa is saying like this? Besoch machmas, shalom machmas, and achar. In which case, achar is bein machmas, bein shalom machmas. Bein machmas, bein shalom machmas. Or is he saying, no, he's saying machmas besoch, machmas shalom. Where's mine? Can you guys see? I'm not squeezing too much. Shalom machmas besoch and achar. Right? But machmas, the soch is not really important. It's lav davka. That means machmas is machmas. It's usually besoch that the derech olam. The difference between besoch and achar is only if it's shalom machmas. Means nafkamina is, what about machmas laachar? Do we say it needs bracha rishona veachrona because it's achar?
Or do we say it needs no bracha whatsoever because it's machmas? That is a big machlokes rishonim. Yes.
I formulated it differently. That it's impossible to have machmas slachar because that becomes part of the suda.
Ah, okay, very good. It may be that the second shidir is just saying there's no such thing, and that would be better. It's not that the soch is left after. It's that machmas is automatically the soch, right? Let's say very good because machmas is always considered bisoch. Why? For eating something machmas asuda, you're still in the suda. Okay, so that's the mechaber does not deal with this explicitly, right? This is something that the Rambam. This is the one thing that the Rambam actually deigned to talk about. Right? Says the Rambam, Udvarim Habam La'achar Suda, Bein Machmas Asuda, Bein Shalom Machmas Asuda. The Rambam is on this side. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a whole host of Rishonim on both sides, Kedarka B'Kodesh. He says that the Mechaber also sounds that way, but it's a big machlokas, Tosos and the Rush. Also sound that way, but the Rashba said explicitly not that way. He was the biggest explicitly not that way, and he also he quotes Rav Haigon, actually it's both Pshatim. Rav Haigon quotes Rashi and Tosos, fascinatingly. Obviously, I don't mean he quotes Rashi and Tosos. But Rav Haigon says, you can find in the Otzer Gaonim, I have it at my Makom, there's also on the shelf, he quotes both, in these were, I mean, Rav Haigon was so long before Rashi, but he knew both Pshatim. He says Rav Haigon within the Tosos Derech disagrees. And then he says, Rabbeinu Hananel, he thinks it's muchach that he holds, that he holds that way, although he's machalik, king Basar and Daisa. In any case, he brings a big machlokas. Here is the Rambam, Tosfos, and the Rush. Here he puts the Rashba and Rav Haigon. And in the end, he says, halacha le maaseh, he says, safek brachos lehakel. In the end, he says, safek brachos lehakel. And if you had actual meal foods, even after the suda, then it's a pretty rare thing to happen. Then he says, safek brachos lehakel.
Something I really heard. How often is something like this happen?
Right. Okay. Is there any more halacha l'maisa we have to mention? Yes. I'll mention one case, which is discussed in the Rishonim, not in the Gemara. V'im koveh lift on sudaso al ha peiros. What if you make the peiros the ikar accompaniment of your suda? Not you have some with bread. The ikar of your suda. You're not having chicken. You're not having cholent. You're not having soup. You're not having kugel. You're having your main, that's the case in the Rishonim, right? Ina negisusi is the lashon. There's a case in Rishon. His bread and fruits. That's what you have to eat that day. So he says that case is different. Then the fruits become like bal machmas asuda because they're the ikra asuda, right? It's the kovel lift and suda shalapiros, the main thing you're eating with the bread. But and then even if you eat without the separate from the bread, you still don't say lufneim ulachrehem. But V.H. Cholkin, and he says, basically brings out two opinions, and maybe we'll call it a day because the other things we already discussed. What about Iker Sudaso? The fifth halacha l'maaseh point, and then you'll take the board, is what about Iker? Iker Sudaso al haperos. So here we have a machlokes. Maybe it is Potter Afilo Achal Peros Levad Kodem Sha'achal Im Halechem, or maybe no, he's only Potter Im Achal Peros Levad Achar Sha'achal Im Halechem. There are two deos. Notice, no one's like Rabbi Yonah. No one says, you need to eat them in the beginning with bread and the end with bread. The only machlokas is it okay if you only eat them in the end with bread, even if at first you eat them alone, or is it only okay if you start eating with bread? Do we say that the sof is lamafreya patters you from
from bracha, or only the beginning part from bracha, and we say you should be machmir. We should be machmir to avoid this case, meaning if your ikar meal is fruit, don't eat fruit by itself first, because then you have a suffix whether it's pater or not. Eat it with bread first, and then you have no suffix. Everything is skewed two steps that way. Okay, we will go weiter to our next topic while Chaim takes the board. I wanted to briefly discuss the interesting side topic that comes up here, which is murder. Why don't we say, to the best of my knowledge, I never heard of anyone saying Hadama at murder, right? I never heard of anyone saying, you know, Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Borei Pri Adama, Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shekhi Hashem Zos Zivanu, Allah Chilas Murder. Never heard of any such thing. Or even Lechol Murder, according to Hafir Shem. Why don't we say a bracha on murder? So there are actually, if you notice, how many opinions did you see on the Makor sheet to answer the question why we don't say Adam on murder? How many main opinions are there that are famous that you learned in high school? If you went to a good high school?
Two
main opinions, but there are actually four opinions in the Makor sheet here. Some of them are a little more obscure, I admit. But, simple question. You got the board, right? Yeah. Why is there no Hadama on Maror? So, what is, tell me one answer.
You potter it with the celery.
You potter it with the karpas. Who says you potter it with the karpas? Who, like, famously says you potter it with the karpas?
Rashi
and the Rashbam in Arvei Psachim. The Ritva here also mentions it, right, as a second answer. But it's fundamentally the shita of Rashi and the Rashbam in Psachim, right? One answer is it's your yotze. Birkas HaKarpas. This is Rashi and the Rashbam in Psachim. And who said it before Rashi? Quoted by Tosfos in Psachim? Rav Yosef Tavelim was before Rashi. He was one of the, I never want to say the first at anything, but like the first Gadol that we've heard of in France, even before Rashi's time. You know, I don't want to insult whoever's a gadol before him who I didn't hear of, but Rabbi Yosef Tavelim, we don't have a lot of writing of Rabbi Yosef Tavelim. You know, he was a long time ago. We have a handful of tshuvas of Rabbi Yosef Tavelim. And what's the most famous halachic work we have by Rabbi Yosef Tavelim? His piyut for? Well, that's a halachic work. How many days a year do you recite a halachic work as a piyut? Only twice. Right? Shavuos, when you chazer the 613 commandments, like from the Tosos that no yeshiva bachur understand in the beginning of Makos, when he talks about how Rabbeinu Tam was magia, the piyot of called Azharos on Shavuos, because he changed the psak between Rav and Shmuel on Milveh last Rosh Hashanah. And the Shabbos HaGadol, when you chazer all of Maseches Psachim in Shabbos HaGadol. Right, the original Shabbos HaGadol drasha of Chazer and Hilchas Pesach was the Yotzer for Shabbos HaGadol. So he also quotes from Rav Yosef Tov Elim, Ratio Tes Ayin, right, what was this guy's name? Rav Yosef Bonfil, right? Tov Elim is Bonfil. Bonfi, the Elul Sile, right? Bon is Tov, and Filial, right, Elim. Anyway, so Rav Yosef Tov Elim also said this. He says, you're Yotze with the Karpas. And Rav Yosef Tov Elim takes it even one step further. And Rav Yosef Tov Elim says, and now we know, tying back to our earlier discussion, says Rav Yosef Tov Elim, and now I've explained to you why, what does Rav Yosef Tov Elim says? Why we have karpas? Why do we need karpas? Why do we need karpas? Says Rav Yosef of Elam, to pater the murrer. Why don't we just say hadama the murrer? Who remembers the sheet the Tosa didn't like? Because chavilos to say two brachas on the murrer. Right? And that's what Yosef, and Tosa says, no, not chavilos say birkas anenin, like Tosa said earlier in our perek, and the reason we have karpas that the kids will ask. But it's a machlok is why we have karpas. Everyone says, so the kids will ask. Yosef Tavelim, Rashid and Rashbam don't have to admit. They could just say that what happens to Hatta the Adama, that's not why we have karpas.
But he says that's why we have karpas, to avoid chavilos. Okay, big chiddush of Yosef of Elim, which Tosos does not like whatsoever.
If you're going to say that, when you go on Motzi, you make two brachas.
No, remember Tosos, that's why you have two matzahs. But you have two morors, so therefore you need the karpas. That's the sheet that Tosos rejected about the two matzahs. That's exactly the same sheet of Yosef of Elim. Okay, what is Tosos' problem with Rashi?
Hefsek.
The Gemara says, Mefurish, prove to me from the Simone HaSeder that there's a hefsek between Karpas time and Moror time, between approximate Karpas time and approximate Moror time. Prove to me there's a Heschadas in between. What? No, that's circular reason. No, Adarabba, you don't make Barpia Dabba the Moror. That would work well. Say there's no Heschadas. Prove to me. Nitil Shadayim. The Gemara says you do Orchatz. And you do rachza. Why do you do urchatz and rachza? Ah, because even though you did urchatz, you had a hezgadah, so you need to wash your hands again. So Tos says, therefore, that kills Rashi and Rav Yosef Tevelim and the Rashbam. They're just dead. Okay, how do we defend them? How do we defend them? The Rashim Sochem defends them. He says, no. There's a different gedder of hesgadas for Nitilus Yadayim and for Birkstanenin. Between, basically, the Magid is hesgadas. The Magid is Heschadas for Nitil Shedayim, because Nitil Shedayim depends on keeping your hands clean. And through the whole Magid, you might get your hands dirty. But it's not a Heschadas for Birkas Hananim. Heschadas for Birkas Hananim just means remembering that you're going to eat more. You still remember you're going to eat more. Magid is not so distracting you forgot that you're going to eat more. It's just distracting enough you might get your hands dirty, but it's not the same. That's what they have to say. They have to say that there is a, that Magid is Hesach Hada'as Le'inya Yadayim, but not Le'inyan Bracha. Okay, but that's not such a crazy thing. Who said that the same gender Hesach Hada'as? One is about keeping in mind what you're going to eat. The other is about keeping your hands clean. It's easier to keep your menu in mind than to keep your hands clean.
Rabbi, one of the throws to say the second word, Re'agafen, you have to say there, is because you can't eat, you can't drink during Asher Do'alot. And therefore, that's a hefsek because you're Hasanini.
This is what the Bir Halacha talks about. Bir Halacha says, can't Ashkenazim prove that it's a Hesach Hadas? Basically, what does the Bir Halacha say? The Bir Halacha says, well, hold on. You're saying it's not a Hesach Hadas for Birkas Hananin? Then why do you have to make another Agafen on the second cup for Ashkenazim? Right? Sfardim don't make Agafen on the second cup. Ashkenazim too. So Joel wants to say one thing. What the Mishnah Berurah says is, nah. You can say it's like the Magen Avraham. The reason, it's not a disproof of Rashi that we make Agafen on the second kos.
But the
Mishnah Berurah says is then that would be, are you allowed to eat vegetables during Magid? Right? Nowadays that's a big question. But the Mishnah Berurah says, can't we prove Rashi's wrong? Which we have a lot of enough being as the Maitzah. Can we prove Rashi's wrong by the fact that we say a second Hagafen on the second coast? No. Because maybe the reason we say a second Hagafen is not because it's a Heschadas for Bracha. It's because the hashivas of the mitzvah requires a new hagafen. That's a Magen Avraham. Rav Shechter talked about that, whoever's in his shir. And Joel says another pshat. It could be because you're not allowed to drink during Magid, but if you're allowed to eat during Magid, then it's a hefsek for drinking and not eating. Okay, fine. What about Tosos? What's the other main pshat as to why we don't say Adam and Mar? What does Tosos say? And Rabbeinu Yonah? It's but why is it considered? Says Tosfos and Rabbeinu Yonah and many others. This is just a random sampling. No, it's considered Ba'im Machmas Hasuda. But why is it considered Ba'im Machmas Hasuda? Because Al Matzah Zemurim Yochluhu, because the Torah said that this Suda includes Mara. Maybe I don't always eat Mara with my Suda, but the Torah said this Suda includes Mara, and that's why, where does Tosa say this? Tosa says this in the next part of the Sugya about drinks. He says, but drinks, after Riyam Rabbeinu and Tam say, even drinks are included in the Hamotzi, because they're Ba'amachas HaSuda. Why? Because when you eat, you're thirsty, you have to drink. So it says, what does this prove? This proves Machmas HaSuda doesn't only mean filling things. Machmas HaSuda means anything necessary. drinks are necessary, even though they're not filling like bread, because it's uncomfortable to eat without drinking. Likewise, even though Mara is not to fill you up, since it's necessary, that's the Chiddush, it's considered, but because it is halachically necessary. That's a Chiddush. You might have only said it's bar machmas asuda if it's to fill you up. But this is halachically necessary. It's called bar machmas asuda. This is Tosos and Rabbeinu Yonah. These are the two main pshatim. However, I did mention two other pshatim on the Makor sheet. Anyone have other pshatim? The Ritva says both of them, so I'm not going to put them down. Anyone have another pshat that was on the Makor sheet? Tosos in Psachim says... That's not Tosos. That's the Marina Peretz. Not for a lucky reason. But it's vegetables. Vegetables help you have an appetite for bread. Vegetables are appetizers. It's an appetizer, not for a lucky reasons. Says the Tosos in Psachim. And Psachim says it's considered Ba'im Machmas Hasuda.
Does he say it's like parparis?
Exactly. Because it's an appetizer, like most Rishonim who translate parparis as appetizer. Right? I mean, I don't want to get into that. Achlokas. So you could say it's just not halachically Machmas Hasuda, because this Suda is a Suda Matzamar Rochlu. No! The Nafkamina would be, and what about on, you know, on Tubashvat? Would you also say that if you had maror, it would be included in your hamotzi? So the Tosos here, Rabbeinu, would say, no, that's only so halachically necessary. Tosos would say, yeah, every day of the year, maror is included in your hamotzi, because maror is a normal appetizer. Of course, nowadays, nowadays we do eat. I mean, depending on what you eat for maror. Right, not so pashut. If you eat horseradish for maror, then we never have a horseradish course in our meal. Don't ask me what happens when we mix the horseradish with a lot of other things and put in gefilte fish. That doesn't count. We never have a horseradish course, but we often have a lettuce salad during the meal. So it's not so crazy. The most exotic perish is the hagos for being parrots on the smock. What does he say? He says, why don't we say hadama on maror? Not it's patered with Hadar Karpas. Not it's patered with the Hamotzi, right? This is all one general Shita. It's patered with Hamotzi. Rather, what does he say?
Not for Hana.
It's patered from Brach in the first place. Because we'll see later on, anyone know if I drink water, take a pill? Not exactly the case in the Gemara. What bracha do I say when I drink water, take a pill?
No.
Nothing. The case in the Gemara is, what if I have something stuck in my throat and I drink water to get it down? Nothing. Why? Because when I drink water, not for hana'a, it's not worthy of a bracha. It says, likewise, when I eat murr, not for hana'a, it's just exempt from bracha legamre. Now, I'm also eating the matzah because it's a mitzvah. I'm also eating Korban Pesach because it's a mitzvah. Obviously, he doesn't mean that there's no bracha on matzah and Korban Pesach I'm eating for a mitzvah. Everyone knows when you eat things for a mitzvah, you still say a bracha. What he means is, no, when I eat something for a mitzvah because it's the mitzvah to eat a good food, then I say a bracha. When I eat something as a mitzvah to be bitter, then that's the opposite of hana'ah. The mitzvah is not to be nedah from delicious food. The mitzvah is to pain myself with food. When the mitzvah is to pain myself with food, then it is exempt from bracha, big chiddush. Since it's a mitzvah to eat it, is only for the merirah. So again, I'm adding words, but you have to add these words. You know, otherwise, the matzah I'm also only eating for the mitzvah. No, come on, matzah is delicious. But that's what he says here. He says, he first brings down the Rashbam, then brings down the Ri, 1 and 2. And then he says, Lefisha'ein ba'in le'hanos ach le'zecher v'havik hanachto umtza. It's not ba'in le'hanos. Potter legamre mi bracha kevan de'eino ba le'hanos. Right? Al hasmak, you're potter legamre, and I think we have to add, all the matzahs also bala zecher, and the grumpes also bala zecher. Yeah, but it's the zecher merivus, which is the opposite of hanah.
Given your addition to Rabbeinu Paris, the words that you're adding, does it not work for lettuce? These lettuce is delicious.
That is a fascinating question. I mean, what if he had? What if he knew that nowadays we would eat sweet murrah? Strangely enough,
right? You know, the Chazon Ish was a big pashta. He was a big pashta. That doesn't mean he did everything on peep shot. You know, even the biggest pashta still has to judge each case on its own merits. Chazon Ish is a big pashta, and the Chazon Ish held that murrah had to be bitter. Surprise, surprise. So the rumor is that he had a guy, he had a farmer who would leave the murrah in the ground, leave the romaine lettuce in the ground until it was bitter, and then pick it for the Chazon Ish to use for Pesach. Yes. And what about the rest of the sweet lettuce? I'm not sure what he would have said. It's a great question.
Isn't this tied together that mitzvos lavlei anos? And which bothers me before. So even on the karpas.
I know. That's why I have to add something to him. That's why I'm adding to him and saying it's only because the zecher is merivrus. And merivrus is the opposite of hana. I know I'm adding to him. I have to add to him. Otherwise, it's ridiculous saying the devar sof.
No, but that's not the merivrus. It's a mitzvah. You're only eating the karpas. You're only eating a little bit. You're not eating enough to be sover or anything. You're only eating from the mitzvah. And the mitzvah is lavlei anos. So why make a bracha?
No, because I'm also nana.
You're leading less concise.
It doesn't matter. I'm still Nana. Okay, Rabosai, we have...
Maybe that's the same as Rashi.
Come on, we have to finish off 50. So you got to give me some time here. What's the obvious nafgamina? So just halacha l'maisa. How does this affect our Pesach Seder? The obvious nafgamina is... Bracha achrona im achal kizayas karpas. Do you say a bracha achrona in the karpas or not? Mm-hmm. If you take the approach of Rashi and Rashi Rami Yosef Elam, Avadi, you don't say bracha achrona in the karpas. You're in the middle of your vegetables. You're only halfway through. Mm-hmm. Right? Of course there's no bracha achrona. If there's a bracha achrona, it would ruin your maror. Right? But according to Tosfos Beinu Yona, Avadi, you say bracha achrona in the karpas. Adraba, meaning, let's say it better. You are not allowed to. Because then you'd be nanima omzebel of bracha when you ate murrah. But according to the Tosfos, you are must. You absolutely must. Why? Because otherwise you're eating murrah without a bracha. I mean, there's no safe option. According to those, you must say bracha achron on the karpas. Why? Because here's a halacha I didn't teach you yet, but it's going to come up. If I make a bracha on something and I eat it before the hamotzi, is it covered by benching? I know some of the rishonim discussed it. Right? Are discussed during the meal and after the meal. How about before hamotzi? If I have candy before hamotzi, is it covered by benching or not? The answer is it depends. If I just have candy for a motzi, it's not covered by benching. I have to say bor nefashos. And if I've forgotten them in the middle of the meal, say bor nefashos and continue my meal. But if I have candy before benching and before hamotzi and after hamotzi, since the shahakal, the candy, also covers the candy during the meal, and the birkas hamazon covers the candy during the meal, then through a chain, through greira, the birkas hamazon covers the candy before the meal. The rule is benching covers things before the meal. If their bracha rishona was used for something after the meal. According to Tosfos Beinu Yona, the bracha rishona on karpas was not necessary to patur the hadama. The hadama was patur through hamotzi. So because otherwise, there's no bracha achrona on the karpas. And don't think benching covers the karpas. Since the karpas didn't cover the hadama, because the hadama took care of itself, not that. Since the matzah took care of that dhamma, whenever the karpas doesn't take care of anything during the meal, benching can't cover it because it's not chained attached to the meal. Okay, so I'm stuck. And okay, according to him, then I would say the same thing.
But you do cover.
What?
You do cover at the end. The karpas.
No, but the hadam of karpas doesn't potter anything eaten during the meal. If so, then benching can't cover the karpas. And therefore, what do we paskin? What do most, at least chutzlar et shulchan aruch, Jews do? Because we're stuck here? Exactly. Therefore, what it says in all the Haggadahs, including the Shulchan Aruch, to eat less, therefore, Lamaisa, eat Pachos Mikizayas. Okay, that's a perfect solution, except for the Shita of...
The
grub.
No, we're not close to that. The grub is just toskening like
Rambam.
The Rambam. Do you know what the Rambam says? Karpas the mitzvah, and you have to eat exayas to be yotze. A mitzvah drabbanon, obviously. Ooh. So we're all not yotze. The Rambam says the grub, you must eat exayas of karpas. Once you this grub, just be fear, he's not in the beer grub on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch. It's in the Maaser Rav. Kuf Pei Zion or something. Says the Gra, you must eat exayas of karpas v'yotze the Rambam. Basically, and we just go against the Rambam. However, the Gra says, you must eat exayas of karpas v'yotze the Rambam. If you must eat exayas of karpas, should you make a bracha achrona or not? The answer is you just have to pick whether you're Rashi or Tosos. The Gra is forced to pick between Rashi and Tosos because he eats exayas karpas. Now he's got to pick his shita. And whose shita does the Gra pick? Tosos against Rashi. The Gra picks Tosos. He rejects Rashi. And therefore, the Gra, in order to be Yotzei the Rambam, so it's a machlok between Grunix and Grunix, which are like Prushim in Eretz Yisrael and some Yeshivishkeit, versus most Jews. Most Jews eat less than exayas to get out of the suffix. However, Grunix say, no, we can't eat less than exayas to get out of the suffix. You'll be Yotzei the Rambam. And obviously the Rav had to be Yotzei the Rambam and ate Exayas. And once we eat Exayas, we have to pick one Shita. We can't be Yotzei Rashi and Tosos. You just have to pick who's right and who's wrong. Luckily, the Rav was not the type who was shy in picking which Rishon is right, which Rishon is wrong. For the Rav, having to pick which Rishon is right, which Rishon is wrong is a feature, not a bug. And therefore, he picked that Tosos is right and Rashi is wrong. And the Grunix eat Exayas and make a Bracha Achrona. I don't know of any Jews nowadays. Maybe someone will tell me in some weird island I never heard of. I don't know of any Jews who do like Rashi and Edict and the Rambam and Edict Zayis and don't say Bracha Achrona. But those are the two options. Okay, we'll pick up with today's Makorah Shita Mirtz Hashem next time. Yeah, but I'm not sure how significant that is. You know, it, it,